Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Enjoy our worship together tonight as we strive to answer some questions from God's Word. You know, as questions are submitted for our Bible studies on Sunday evenings, some of these questions are really significant. Some of them relate to the way we worship God and the way we serve God. Some of them relate to the nature of the Lord's church. And some of them are in the realm of wanting to know more about what God has revealed to us in a certain area. But I will tell you that today's world is more influenced by the entertainment industry than they are the Word of God in so many areas. For instance, if you want to talk about the subject of demons and the subject of angels, you start talking about demon possession and immediately people think of this actress sitting in this bed that's bouncing up and down off the floor and whose head is spinning around and all of those events. And people say, but isn't that in the Bible? And you say, no, that's not in the Bible. In fact, when you think about demons, movies like The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby are where people get the ideas that they have about them. Or when you start talking about angels, people watch their TV shows like Highway to Heaven and Touched by an Angel and the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and they build their ideas of what these are by them more than they do what is revealed in God's Word. And what I have found in talking with people about these is some people have now become skeptical as if there ever were any demons or even angels, as we find revealed in the Bible. Well, there were two questions. Really, actually, there were three questions, but I have sort of combined them down to two that have been asked for us to deal with in this lesson. And the first one is, what were or what are angels and demons? And it seems that the discussion of these two go together. And then the other is, are angels and or demons still active in the world today? And when you ask that latter question, you're starting to ask, what do they do to us? What do they do for us? I will tell you in preparing this lesson that, like this morning's lesson, I could preach for a long, extended time. But I realize that you can only grasp a certain amount of material, so I'm not going to deal with a lot of demon possession in this lesson. Really, more than anything else, what I would like to do is to deal with two basic aspects. The first lesson, or the first part, being definitions and descriptions. To ask the question, what is an angel? What is a demon? How are they described in the Bible? And then number two, to look at the destiny of both, because that's how they tend to relate to us. The term angel itself means messenger. What an angel is a messenger from God to man. And when you go to the Old Testament, you have a Hebrew word, and it's malek. Or you go to the New Testament, you have the Greek word, and it's angelos, from which we get our English word angel. And in both cases, they refer either to a human or a spirit messenger. But I will tell you, the majority of the passages refer to spirit messengers. Let me give you just an illustration of how this might be used. In Revelation chapter 1 and or chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are letters to the seven churches. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. The angel there could possibly be a human messenger. I believe it's a spirit messenger. But the word is applicable to either a human or to a spirit. The reason why I emphasize that is because of the phrase ministering spirits, found in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire. That tells us that they're spirit beings. You come to verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So I understand from the writer of the book of Hebrews that the basic category of angels who are doing God's bidding of a messenger are angels. And one of the great things that you can think of in the Bible is they were the ministers of providing the Word. In fact, if you go on into chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, following this, he talks about not neglecting that which has been revealed to us, and that which is revealed is God's Word. They are created beings, but they were present at the creation of this world. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, the writer there, Paul, is trying to explain to the Colossians the role that Jesus had. And he says in verse 16, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and by Him or for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Now, when I read that, I want you to notice some things. All things were created that are in heaven, that's where the angels are with God, and on earth. That includes both. Things that are invisible and things that are visible. Things that are visible, that's this creation. The woods that we have, the blocks, the various things that are part of this world. So you understand all things have been created like this. But we do know, according to Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7, as God speaks with Job, He asks him a series of questions, and He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? And to what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstones?" And then carefully, look at what He says. "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The sons of God there in the book of Job is recognition of the angelic host. We do know that as we look through the Bible, the angels are described as holy. Holy. For instance, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory." When Jesus comes, I think sometimes we have visualized in our mind that He's coming by Himself. But it says here that all the holy angels with Him. So we do know they're holy. Revelation chapter 22, though, verses 8 and 9, we understand that though the angels are holy, they're not worthy of our bowing down to worship them. "Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am a fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God.'" You see, angels are great, majestic, holy beings, but you don't worship them, even with all of their great power and might. As spirit beings, they are invisible unless they take on a physical form. There's several places where you could observe this, but I'll just give you a couple. In the book of 2 Kings, if you'll remember the servant of Elisha, and it says, "The servant of the man of God arose and went out early and saw an army surrounding the city and horses and chariots, and his servant said, 'Alas, master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, Elisha would say, "There's more with us than there are with them." And he says, "Where? I don't see them." And then Elisha prays and he sees this great army all around the city. You see, they were invisible until God made them visible. Or the one I always like is Numbers 22. I've always liked Balaam's donkey. And it says, "The Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and he fell flat on his face." You see, that donkey kept knocking Balaam into the wall, and Balaam thought the donkey was just being stubborn. And no, but the donkey saw the angel. But it was only when the Lord opened his eyes to allow Balaam to see the invisible that he saw the angel of the Lord. What that tells us is that by nature they are spirit beings, but they can, at God's direction, be visible in the physical world. They are superior in intellect, but they're not omniscient. Angels know more than I do, but they don't know everything. In fact, in Matthew 24:36, as Jesus is talking about what is known, he says, "But of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." You see, the angels know a lot, but they don't know the day Jesus is going to return. They are superior in power. They're stronger than any one of us, but they're not omnipotent. For instance, in 2 Peter 2:11, "Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." There's some people that they're not more powerful than, and that's God. They are not sexual beings. And by that, we mean they're not to procreate. You see, God put us in a physical universe. He created man and woman in such a way is that they can have children. That's not the way that He created the angelic host. In Matthew 22:30, at a question raised by the Sadducees, He said, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." Angels don't marry. They don't have children. They don't have a family that way. That's not the way God designed it. But then the question comes up, but what about the demons? You know, I think I got a hold on what the angels are, but what about the demons? Well, there's the Old Testament Hebrew word, seed. And then there is the Greek word, demonion. And both of them describe a bad or an evil-natured spirit. An evil-natured spirit. And much speculation has been about the nature of demons. This is where I think probably we get confused. It's because people start trying to say, what are demons? And where did they come from? And what are they made of? Well, because of the possessions that existed in the first century, a lot of people say, they're just insane people. That you had a man who was somehow possessed with a demon, and that he wasn't really somehow possessed with a demon. He was just insane. He didn't know what he was doing. One of the more fanciful, bizarre explanations is based on Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And in Genesis 6, we read, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward. When the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, they were the mighty men of renown. And what they're suggesting is that the angels who were men cohabitated with the human women, and they developed another race of people that were part spirit, part human, and that they came in and out of the physical universe, and that's how the demonic realm started. Well, I'd suggest to you there's several problems with that. The first problem with that view is the fact of that God would allow something such as that to occur without His will. The second great problem with that is that when you look at the context in which it appears, the sons of God has reference to the descendants of Seth, and the daughters of men has reference to those who were the descendants of Abel, or not Abel, of Cain, and of those who became wicked. The third problem that you have with it is one that I had just mentioned with regards to the nature of angels, is that they are not sexual beings from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. And so you would not have them cohabitating and having children by them. So that's really not even a possible. The third view of them is that they are a pre-existent evil race. In Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 18 we read, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God? Who formed the earth and made it? Who established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord and there is no other." Notice that phrase, "who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited." What is suggested is that God created this world to be inhabited. And that what happened before man was ever created, there were beings here that were become evil. And what people do in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, they just insert this here. Because it says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And they say, see here, this was all these people, and they were wicked and evil, and God had a great war. And then they say, now look at verse 2. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the waters." And they say, see, what happened was it just was destroyed, and so God had to remake it back the way He wanted it. Problem is, Exodus 20 and verse 11 says, "For in 6 days God created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is." And what you have a problem with as you start doing that is, you have a world that was created and it was all messed up and put back, but Exodus 20 and verse 11 says it all happened in 6 days. Well, then the fourth explanation of what demons are is they are fallen angels. And we understand that there were angels who did fall. In 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God did not spare angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." I know there are angels who fell. Peter tells us that. Jude says the same thing in Jude verse 6. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved into everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So what you would have is, who are the demons? They're the angels who fell. And they became wicked. Well, there's one other explanation. And that is, they're the spirits of wicked men who escaped Hades. Now, for those who have held this view, Alexander Campbell held this view. In fact, he gave a lecture in Nashville on it many years ago. This past week, I read that whole lecture, and he has a very persuasive way of expressing this in a lecture called Demonology. Brother Rex Turner Sr. held this view, as well as Brother Guyon Woods. So when you start saying those names, you're talking about very learned men. But the questions that I'd have to try to do this is, I want to look at the Bible evidence. Not regarding who holds this view, but what does the Bible say? Well, when it comes to demons, I know who their leader is. In the book of Mark, chapter 3, verses 22 through 26, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, by the ruler of demons, he cast out demons." So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" What I can see from verses 22 and 23 is that Satan, which is the devil, which is the ruler of them, is of the same nature as the demonic realm. And that's the same thing said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26. Satan cast out Satan. He is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And yet, what is Satan? Satan is a fallen angel. In Luke 10 and verse 18, "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." When I look at Jude verse 6, and I see that they are those who have been cast down because they left their proper habitation, and I see that the devil is the one who, because of his pride, was lifted up, was cast down from 1 Timothy chapter 3, then I understand that the demons must be of the same nature like the fallen angels. What kind of abilities did they possess as demons? They had the ability to afflict bodies of men with illnesses. As you look at a number of passages, and I just want to go through these quickly here, he went out and he brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. He couldn't speak. There were all kinds of illnesses. It says here, whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. The idea of the physical overpowering of the body. They had extraordinary human strength when they were possessed. Mark chapter 5, "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had dwellings among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. He was so strong he could just break the chains." Superhuman strength. The question is, why did God allow this? Why did God allow demon possession to take place? Because God wanted to show the superiority of good over evil. In Mark chapter 16, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." Here is a man representing God, and here is a man representing the devil. Who has the greatest power? Is it the demons or is it God? And obviously it is God. And in verse 20, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Now, I know that doesn't deal with everything that you probably want to deal with, but let me point out the destiny of these two groups. Heaven is prepared not only for the righteous humans, but also the holy angels. I don't know if you think about it. I often fantasize about heaven. Thinking about what it will be like. And I know that I want to be able to talk with Peter and Paul and Moses and Noah. I want to be able to talk with those great heroes. But have you ever wanted to talk to Michael and Gabriel? To those holy angels? Revelation chapter 7 and verse 11, "And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God There are going to be angels there. But hell is prepared for the devil and his evil angels or the demons. Matthew 25, verse 41, "Then he shall also say to those on the left, Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Does the demonic realm exist in our world today? I don't think people really have the question, do angels exist? But they have the question is, do the demons exist? And are they a part of our world today? No, because God has removed the miraculous gifts which involved the casting out of demons. Once the ability to cast them out was taken away, the ability to possess was taken away. The only way in which the demonic realm influences us today is through the doctrine or the teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit says expressly in the latter times, some will depart from the faith," they're going to leave the truth, "giving heed to seducing spirits," deceiving spirits, "and doctrines of demons." You see, all of that teaching that comes from the devil and from the evil side, that's the only way we can carry on the devil's work today. It's by giving him a place in our lives. Does possession still occur today? The miraculous gifts have ceased, and does the reason to permit it? I hope that I've answered most of the questions that relate to the angels and demons. I know there's a whole lot more that we have not discussed, but what we've tried to discuss is to deal with the questions that are asked. Every time we assemble together, we want to make sure that those who are not Christians have the opportunity to become one. We don't want to ever leave here without giving everybody an opportunity to make things right with God. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, if you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you will repent of the sins that you have committed and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then being baptized, the Lord will forgive you of your sins, add you to His body, the church. Everything is prepared for you tonight. All you need to do is to come and make that known, and we'll assist you in obedience. And if you're a child of God and you're looking at your life and you're saying, I've got problems I've got to deal with,